You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So good morning to you. Hope you're having a good day so far on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, really, right, the last work day of the week. Tomorrow, come on, nobody works tomorrow. Anybody thinks you're working tomorrow doesn't know you, right? Come on. Everybody getting ready to go. Yeah. And so we show up for work. Everybody brings some food or something. We have our own little thing, right? Everybody does that. And then, we don't do so much work. So today's the last day. Right. So feel free to begin to throttle it back. Alright. No need to be working too hard. Thanksgiving coming up. Gotta get your mind right. Getting a Thanksgiving spirit, which, you know, right around the corner is Christmas, right? A month from yesterday. So I don't know how many shopping days that means that you have left, but it's less than a month's worth of shopping. For all you people that count stuff like that, there you go. I had a kind of a breakthrough yesterday. Yeah. I've been searching for months for a term for meditation for a term that I could use instead of meditation. And I have not been able, honestly, I have not been able to find a good term. And so I finally found one yesterday. And it made me happy. And so the term, it's a series of initials, right? for the process. Because when I talk about meditation, it's like, come on, we're Marines. We can't meditate, right? Simba, you don't know who you are. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't do that. Like, and somebody looks at you and says, what are you doing? I'm meditating, Gunny. Oh, come here, princess. Right? Come here, sunshine. I got something for you to do. If you got time to meditate, I got time for you to pick up rocks and paint rocks and rake dirt and things like that. So, yeah, you can't. That's like Marines. You can't meditate. So the process is called GMFBR. GMFBR. So when somebody looks at you like, what are you doing? It's a mental process, GMFBR. Oh, really? What does that sound for? Getting my fucking brain right. Getting my fucking brain right. Right? How perfect is that? Right? How perfect is that? So, you know, and honestly, I'm now perfecting it. Yeah, no kidding. I'm now kind of, you know, I'm now working on, you know, how to make it better. And I have. I mean, to me, there's an operational version of it. I talk about Tom Seaver, pitcher for the Reds, used to do it on the mound. And then it's take a deep breath and blow out. And when he said that when I blow out like that, I get rid of the whole event. Everything. I physically remove, it is removed from my person. And when I turn around, I get up on that mound. Cause I know if I don't do that, then, you know, something bad might happen. I might get up another home run. So I've got to be like focused on the task at hand, completely focused on the task at hand. And sometimes it's tough to do that when you're mad, right? You just gave up a home run to somebody who shouldn't hit a home run off you. And, now you're going to continue, but you don't have that out of your head yet. So how do you do that? And so, I mean, I think it's a critical skill for, people that operate under pressure. And so who would that be? If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a husband, a wife, if you're a parent, you know, when you feel that in you, right, that's tugging at you, that you're fighting, then to me, it's important to use this time-tested GMFBR technique, right? And, yeah, and so there's a quick version of it, which is just the one big breath, right? Hold it for a one count, and that ejects that poison that's in your head that's distracting you from being a performer. And then there's a longer version of it. Now, I haven't totally perfected this or got it totally right in my head, okay, but it's three breaths, okay? Yeah, so you can see, both are designed, right, for dynamic environments, right? The sitting there with your legs folded, that's awesome if you have the time to do it. But most people need this when they don't have time to do that. And they need it. They got to vent that pressure. They got to vent that poison, whatever's in their head. It's a distraction that's keeping you from performing at, you know, your peak level. So how do you do that? Well, to me, it's three breaths. First one is, okay, I need to stop this. Second one, all right, I need to reset to zero, right? Second breath. And the third breath is refocus. Okay, where was I? What am I supposed to be focused on? Right? Got it. Let's go. I'm off. So that's the three-breath version. So there's a one-breath version of GMFBR, and there's a three-breath version of GMFBR. And I'm much more comfortable with that than I am with meditation. So yeah, little bit of a breakthrough yesterday, and I've been talking about this for months. If anybody's got a better phrase for it, right? If anybody's got a better phrase for it, then please let me know. And I've had a couple of people reach out, but there was kind of a variation of meditation. And so got that going for us. Good news on the post-traumatic winning front. Actually, it's not good news. It's awesome news. And that is that I think the green light has been given for the for doing post-traumatic winning with the Las Vegas Fire Department. I don't think it has been. So now working on when we're going to schedule that and do that. So how exciting is that? Yeah, boom. And my part of my excitement when I think about firefighters and first responders in general, so I would lump them into the same category. Part of my excitement is that they work in the community every day, right? Military people do not. So they would have opportunities to touch people, and they would obviously have to do it in their civilian time. They'll have all kinds of opportunities to come in touch with people that have, you know, are struggling with trauma and different things that have happened in their lives. And so they can have so many of these experiences because of their, I refer to it as exalted position. It's probably a better word is elevated position. Because of their elevated position, in a community. And so I think it's, my own opinion is it's really exciting because if you talk to most firefighters and most police officers, they're taught the same thing that the DOD teaches and the VA teaches, which is endurance. And we have all these ways to endure this better. Okay. We have all these ways to endure it better. And endurance, come on, man. That's yesterday's news. We can do better than that. And so to me, it's exciting, that not only just the truths that post-traumatic winning talks about, the infrastructure that post-traumatic winning, dispenses, the tools that post-traumatic winning dispenses to help live with this stuff, you know, that anybody can use and to make themselves better, but that's not post-traumatic winning. Post-traumatic winning is not post-traumatic growth. Post-traumatic growth says that I can grow from this experience. Right? Post-traumatic winning says you've got to give. And that's where the transformation comes from. So anyway, come on. They're uniquely positioned in a community to have an incredible impact on people. And so, I think it's really exciting. And the good news for them is, again, Viktor Frankl booms in my head when I talk about this stuff. And that is this, right? When you give meaning to your suffering, and they continue to compound that suffering every week as they go on calls and things like that. As you give meaning to that, right, you fundamentally change your life. You change your life. And so to me, that's exciting. That's exciting stuff. And especially given what, you know, many of them went through, responding to that mass shooting incident in Las Vegas, a couple years ago. But again, you know, a lot of them will tell you in my conversation with first responders, they're exactly like, you know, Marines are, and that is, look, you know, that's business, and I tend to be able to deal with business. It's the other things in my life. What does that sound like? What does that sound like? Yeah, you know, it was the things that happened to me growing up. It was this event specifically growing up. It was, you know, so anyway, that's pretty exciting. And that's an understatement. I can't tell you how excited I am for the opportunity. And then to work with him, hopefully, you know, to export that to other fire departments around the country and show them that there's a better way to deal with this stuff and that you have a pretty prominent fire department that's done it and the results will be, what they've been everywhere post-traumatic winning happens. And so that's exciting. That's exciting. So, and there's another one, that I think we're on the verge of doing that. I don't want to jinx by announcing it, but And there's a third one that's kind of in the works. What's up? That's what I say to my grandson when I see him. Finn, what's up? Right? Finn thinks that's funny, man. So that means I got to do it wherever you are. Yeah, Finn going to come out and visit Grandma and Grandpa here in about a month. So excited about that. Yeah, we'll have our whole family together. Doesn't happen very often, but it's going to happen on Christmas. So that's exciting. So, yeah, some big news to get ready to start the new year. And awesome news because, you know, the coolest part of post-traumatic winning is watching the reaction of people. I mean, they struggle with something. They might have some of the thoughts that appear in post-traumatic winning. And then all of a sudden you lay it out for them and they're like, wow. Wow. I can't tell you how happy this makes me as I walk out of here today. That I'm not as screwed up as I thought I was. That some of the things I was thinking of are sitting in here. And it makes me feel like I'm not a dumbass. It makes me feel like, you know, some of the things I was thinking, you know, were spot on. And they were. And so good stuff. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the show. Pretty cool show today. If you've been around the Marine Corps in the last 20 years, I won't say you've probably heard of this guy, but you may have heard of Mike Marletto. He's the former CO of the 11th Marines during the March Up, which made him the fire support coordinator for the division. Well, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's what he kind of was. Anyway, because the division probably has somebody who's in the operations section, the G3 as it's known, that's technically the fire support coordinator, but I don't know. I would have to ask one of my Artie friends if that's the exact name. But anyway, he would be the chief person that would plan fires for the division. So anyway, so Mike, I heard of, and then I got an email from him one day telling me how much he enjoyed the program, and I'd never met him, but I'd only heard of Mike Marletto, and I'd only heard great things about him, and I was like happy, yeah, I was like doing my like happy dance. When that day, like, I must be doing something great, man. Or at least good because Mike Marletto likes it. So screw everybody else. And, Mike's coming on the program today. And we recorded it on Sunday. And, he's down in Australia right now. And, so you're going to hear him talk about his career. And he's got an interesting career. And, you know, just the way fate kind of works in life. He's a captain. And he gets sent to Beirut in August, September of 1983. And, the barracks is blown up on October 23rd. He's living, right, in the barracks with the headquarters element of the, battalion landing team. And on the afternoon, I think of October 22nd, he got tasked to go do something and they couldn't get back that night. So they stayed wherever they were that night. And then the next morning, at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning, the barracks were detonated. And Mike Marletto, you know, you'll hear him talk about it. I mean, he should have been in that building. He was also in the CENTCOM, I'd call it a combat operations center, and the CENTCOM operations center, the day of Black Hawk Down in Somalia. So Mike's got a interesting life in addition to an incredible career, as an artilleryman and as a commander. And, ultimately, I think, his last couple jobs, he was the MEF chief of staff for a while. And then he got out. So, so Mike Marletto today and the interview I want to say is about, an hour and a half long. Yeah, it's not a short interview, and nor should it be. Mike said, and we cover a whole ton of stuff, everything from his career to his thoughts on what he thinks that professionals ought to know about, you know, about being using supporting arms, using artillery, and then we also talk about the resignation of Secretary Spencer. Actually, he was fired, right? The termination of Secretary Spencer. And so, Mike Marletto joins the program this morning. And like I said, I have a pretty cool job. And one of the reasons my job is cool is because I get to talk to guys like that. And, I've always loved it. And no exception relative to, the interview with Mike. He's, as one of my friends said, he's a national treasure. And a pretty cool picture of him smoking a cigar will accompany the post when you see it online. So don't miss it. It's awesome. And then I got to figure out a way to slide some of the chef's Thanksgiving stuff in there. If you're looking for Thanksgiving directions, you can go to the website and you can call up any number. If you just type in Thanksgiving, in fact, I'll do it right now and I'll read you the number of shows we've done about Thanksgiving, okay? So if you're looking for instructions on anything from brining to, hold on, Thanksgiving. The chef says, how long does refrigerated beef last? Why put apple cider vinegar in a pie crust? Great post-Thanksgiving turkey soup. So there's one. The chef says, great advice for perfect brining, gravy, stuffing, and all the fixings for Thanksgiving. Yeah, you might want to listen to that. All right. There's another one. Thanksgiving is better if the cook joins a party. Then there's a book that the chef, you know, actually his wife, right, Miss B, the Essential Thanksgiving Cooking and Reference Book. So there's that. So there's a bunch of entries that you can take a look at relative to Thanksgiving. Here's another one. Thanksgiving cooking, scalloped corn and oysters. Thanksgiving cooking, mashed potatoes. Thanksgiving cooking, great gravy instructions. Thanksgiving cooking, turkey and stuffing instructions. Thanksgiving side dishes. Yeah. If you're interested in cooking, I got a number of programs for you. So, yeah. Thanksgiving cooking timeline. There's two versions of that. Good God, man. Who does that? So that's how committed this program has been to Thanksgiving over the years. So all you got to do is go to the podcast page, type in Thanksgiving if you're looking for help, and go ahead and check the chef out. He's heartbroken, just so you know, because his back is killing him. So anyway, on a Tuesday morning before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. Good morning to you. dedicated to the decision makers at the Clark County Fire Department up in Las Vegas. Thanks for the opportunity, and can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it. And know this, you're going to save people's lives. No doubt in anybody's mind, least of all mine. You're going to save people's lives in a huge way. In a huge way. So, dedicated to all you people that were involved in screening this, looking at it, and making this decision. Appreciate the opportunity, and looking forward to it.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility
to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds to win. You got to win.
Coolest weather bumper in all of radio podcasting. Yeah, people hear Junior Walker as your weather bumper. Come on, they're like, whoa, who's this dude? Currently partly sunny and 53 in Quantico. It is sunny and 64 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, in the desert of California, the high desert, if you will. Sunny at 45 at Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center, as it's known. At Camp Pendleton, it is sunny and 56. Camp Smith in Hawaii. I don't really know what island that is, because I've never been to Hawaii. That may change, though. Yep. Dark, cloudy, and 71 degrees, warmed up a little. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. In Afghanistan, it's cold, man. Clear, dark, and 45 early in the evening in Afghanistan. And in the Al Anbar province of Ramadi, it is a mild 60 degrees, sun setting, with clear skies. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's 59 degrees under fair skies. Looking for a high of 71 today. Forecast calls for rain and 61 tomorrow. On Thursday, rain and 58 on Thanksgiving. Are we really serious about that? Like, are you kidding me? Now, there's three weather advisories. But, you know, whenever you're near the coast, two of them are going to be, like, coastal-related, which are bullshit. Like, oh, yeah, the wind's blowing, so guess what? That means small craft advisory. Boom, right out of the chute. So there's one. Beach hazard statement, whatever the hell that is, and a flash flood watch. In effect, from 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time today, actually from Wednesday at 4 till 10 p.m. on Thursday. So, heavy rain expected here in the Southern California area. So, yeah. So, the snow people will be very happy because the mountains will get crushed just in time for people to go up and go skiing. Imagine that. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On a Tuesday, on your home for it, Mike Marletto at the top of the hour. Do not miss that. And here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I should find me crying tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah, I'll let it all. But right now it's just me, alone on this earth. So I'm gonna sit here and watch this cigarette burn and hurt.
I forgot to do shithole weather. And that made me happy when that happens. From Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. Oh, with a picture! You know what? It's cold. It's cold there. Like, you know how I could tell? I could tell by the snow on the driveway. And Bev's already got some holiday decorations up. Some Christmas decorations up. Whoa. Yeah. Peyton Davis. All right. Here's the weather in Churchbridge. Overcast and 19 with 2 miles an hour winds out of the northwest, so winds are calm. Afternoon to be mostly sunny, 23 degrees Fahrenheit, winds out of the east at 3. So just a cold day in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, where Bev makes her home. Shithole weather in Massachusetts, where the world-famous Chris, who's dropped 250 pounds. Yeah, that's still an amazing story. If you didn't listen to that one, go look that one up. Just Google Chris. You need to listen to Chris, man. His story's incredible. All right. So, shithole weather in Massachusetts is Oscar Mike this morning, which means on the move. Current position is in Worcester, home to the renovated Union Station. Located at the center of Worcester, Union Station hosts a commuter rail line and not much else. Current conditions, clear. 48 degrees with a high of 56 today. 2 days before Thanksgiving, winds are light. Clouds building overnight with a forecast of rain. And here's a picture of Union Station. It's beautiful. You know what? One of the things I love about traveling, I love seeing period architecture. And, when cities boomed, I drove through St. Peter, Minnesota when I was up in Mankato. St. Peter is an old historic town. And it has awesome looking architecture. They also have an awesome veterans memorial. You can go look at it if you get on Google Earth. St. Peter, Minnesota. I mean, just you're driving through going, whoa, what a cool place. Right? You could film a movie there easily, set in like the early 1900s. But Cleveland. Go to Cleveland and look at all the period architecture when, you know, during the industrial age of the country. And Cleveland was such a big port to get things onto the Great Lakes, and then out to the Atlantic. And so you see this kind of period architecture. What is it in Los Angeles? Union Station, downtown L.A.? Absolutely beautiful to walk into and look at. Yeah, I mean, cathedral pieces. What a brilliant idea. Send in a picture. Let's see if Nancy did it. Nancy did not. Nancy, get your shit together. Hi, Mac, exclamation mark. Now I feel bad for saying get your shit together because she put an exclamation mark at the end of hi, Mac. It's clear, sunny, blue sky day in Pleasantville, currently 43 degrees. Headed to 55, which is beach weather in western Pennsylvania. Winds are out of the southwest at 7, gusting to 10. An overnight low of 41 degrees with light rain. Erie's at 54 degrees with sunny skies. Winds out of the southwest at 9 and calm. So, Nancy, how about a picture next time? Just out right out the window. Let's see if Vacaville Man can follow directions. Oh, he did. Damn, he's up in Idaho. There's a cup of coffee sitting on a rail, and he shoots me a picture of looking out over some lake that he doesn't identify. But the picture, man, the picture's absolutely beautiful. Calm lake, beautiful pine trees. Good morning, Matt. Currently 25 degrees at Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Is that how you say that? phonetically, how do you say that? A quarter inch of snow with a high of 35 degrees. Winds out of the east southeast at 12. Be well. Big Dave from Vacaville up in Idaho, where he's doing a little bit of GMFBR. Yeah, get my fucking brain right. So, yeah, time for us to look at some news stories. And then Mike Marletto, colonel type, artilleryman. Yeah, I've sent emails out to my artillery friends talking shit, just so you know. Because you have to. You have to. Because if you don't regulate on their asses, they get out of the box, right? And they know they're like secondary MOS people because the infantrymen in the Marine Corps run the Marine Corps. It's our Marine Corps. We let them exist in it, and that's the way it is. And they know it. So whenever you get a chance, you have to make sure they stay in their place. Headline, Stars and Stripes. Trump's actions in Navy SEAL case raise concerns about role in military justice, right? Now, let me just tell you this. I saw a headline that I thought was pretty accurate yesterday. Do you think that Donald Trump cares one bit about, you know, Ed Gallagher? No. He's a pawn in a game. Right? He's a pawn in a game. So the President of the United States is going to stand up with his combat Navy SEALs. That's all it is to Donald Trump. Right? He's a politician. It's how they do it. Defense Secretary Mark Esper declared that President Donald Trump ordered him to stop a disciplinary review of a Navy SEAL accused of battlefield misconduct, an intervention that raised questions about America's commitment to international standards of battlefield ethics. Now, this is written by Robert Burns. Now, I've talked to you about Robert Burns before, right? Right? Very, very highly regarded, award-winning writer. Okay. Esper's comments on Monday were the latest twist in the case of Gallagher, which led to a conflict between Trump and armed services leaders over military discipline. This dispute peaked over the weekend with the firing of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer. Esper initially favored allowing the Navy to proceed with a peer review board, which could have resulted in Gallagher losing his SEAL status, but he said he was obliged to follow Trump's order. Still, Esper also directed the Pentagon's legal office to review how service members are educated in the laws of armed conflict and trained to wartime behavioral standards. You know, Esper's bullshit. Okay? How about that? Esper's bullshit. It's all eyewash. Esper did not stand up for what he should have stood up for. He should have looked at the president and said, hey, look, you cannot do this. Right? You cannot do this. You cannot reach into what we do as a military and tell us not to do it. You know, Donald Trump, he didn't give a shit about that. And Esper didn't say that. So he nodded, right? And you have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff now saying it's a closed issue. Okay, let me just tell you, that is scary. If you won't stand up for what's right, when will you? On an easy one? On one that doesn't cost you your job? So the whole thing about, again, speaking truth to power, Esper just failed. He gets an F. No, he gets two Fs. Fucking failed. F squared. Yeah, for all you math people out there. Esper said this, quote, I can control what I can control. And that was his response when asked if the president is sending the right message to U.S. troops by intervening to stop the Gallagher review. Quote, the president is a commander-in-chief. He has every right, authority, and privilege to do what he wants to do. So the question, Mr. Esper, is this, right? Illegal, unethical, or immoral? I think that you skewed, or the president skewed, to the certainly unethical, not immoral. Stand your ground? Stand your ground? So anyway, if you missed Andy, Andy Milburn yesterday, listen to that. Andy's a special ops guy, right? And he'll talk about the conflict within the Naval Special Warfare community. And the bad guys are winning. The bad guys are winning. So, again, follow-up story on that. Trump's pick for Navy Secretary is a U.S. ambassador to Norway and a former United States naval aviator. That's right. Kenneth Brathwaite, the current ambassador to Norway. Graduated from the Naval Academy in 1984. Served as a naval aviator in Hawaii, where he flew anti-submarine missions in the Western Pacific and the Indian Ocean. Originally from Michigan, Brathwaite worked as chief public affairs officer at the Navy Yard in Philadelphia in 1990, got a master's in government administration from the University of Pennsylvania in 1995. During the 90s, Brathwaite served as a borough councilman in Ridley, Pennsylvania. He also worked for Senator Arlen Specter from 1997 to 2000. As a state director. Wow. Pretty amazing. Became a rear admiral in the reserves in 2007. Was nominated to be ambassador to Norway in November of 2017. So there you have it. The next secretary of the Department of the Navy. I was curious to see what USNI News would write about the whole thing. There's an article about Kenneth Brathwaite, and there's also another article about the SecDef Esper, says SecDef Spencer ousted for going outside the chain of command. Which, in my opinion, that's a bunch of eyewash. That's just a pretense, right? So, the Secretary of the Navy having discussions with the White House, and then when that didn't go their way, then the White House said fire him, and the pretext for firing him was that he was having conversations with the White House? Huh? Like what? Anyway, I reread the article, and the headline is this. It's General Berger's speech. At a ground dinner, ground combat dinner where awards are given out and things like that, right? Quote, we are the front line, is a quote from the speech. Now, here's some of the things that you're going to hear in the speech. I wish I could find it. I cannot. I'd play you the whole speech. We may need to get smaller, trade some parts we've had for a long time, but are not a good fit for the future, at least how General Berger sees the future. So when you're going to terminate, weapons programs and things like that, that's pretty serious stuff. Our ability to conduct sea control and sea denial operations, both from the sea and from key maritime terrain, is an essential naval capability in modern armed conflict, Berger said. That's my premise. It's not nice to have. It's essential. Okay. Now, again, this is my question for all this. How much does it change the complexion of the Marine Corps, and can the nation afford a Marine Corps that's so nuanced that it can't do its generalist mission, which it did in Iraq and Afghanistan, in a couple of different forms? One, the ground combat invasion. Two, counterinsurgency, right? Different missions, right? So a flexible force can flex to that, right? So how much are we talking about modifying the Marine Corps? And nobody knows that because he hasn't revealed it. Those mobile bad attitude toolkit packing Marines are focused on a small set of tasks to achieve sea control and sea denial, according to Berger. Sinking ships, shooting down planes, killing enemy forces inside the area, and stopping all forces from coming in. That means reducing or eliminating money going to manned anti-armor ground and aviation platforms. Whoa. Manned traditional towed artillery that can't be modified to fire hyper-velocity projectiles. short-range mortar systems that lack precision. Non-lethal short-range drones and excess equipment being kept in administrative storage. Areas where the Corps needs to spend its coin, low-cost, lethal air and ground unmanned platforms, unmanned long-range surface and subsurface vehicles, mobile, rapidly deployable rocket systems, long-range precision fires, loitering munitions across echelons, mobile air defense and counter-precision guided munitions capabilities, signature management, electronic warfare, and expeditionary airfield. And then they talk about some of this has come from planning, but, right, some of the lessons have been revealed in a large exercise that the 2nd Marine Division has been doing for the last couple months out at 29 Palms. It just recently concluded. Berger, we are the front line. So, finally, quote, we are going to need to divest of certain critical capabilities that we have come to enjoy within the Marine Corps. This is from Brigadier General Robert Fulford, who hosted me at EWS. We built a Marine Corps to fight and win a long, sustained ground campaign, he added. Fulford said the Marine Corps' heaviest land equipment is likely one of the areas where future cuts will take place. However, we're also very heavy at this point, and so that force and its ability to embark aboard some form of sea-based lift, there's a fundamental mismatch. What we're going to need to do is get lighter. We're going to need to become more distributed and more mobile. Okay, so what happens, though, if the war that breaks out, that everybody has to go to, like Iraq, like Afghanistan, isn't the one that you anticipate? So the question will be, when the House and Senate look at these plans and they have to bless them in order the Marine Corps to fund them and do the things they want to do, you know, will they buy off on such a nuanced and specialized Marine Corps that seems to be tailored for a fight in the Pacific against the Chinese? Right. And although they would argue that, they would say, well, it applies to Norway, it applies to, you know, the Crimea, it applies to all kinds of different places where we see possibly ourselves going to fight. All right. So the question is, how nuanced does the Marine Corps get? So film in 11, because nobody's saying how nuanced it's going to be. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Trump taps ambassador to Norway to become new Secretary of the Navy. We've discussed that. Two, troops in K-9 from the raid that killed the ISIS leader get a White House welcome. Now, I don't recall in my memory ever seeing that we paraded special operations toys in front of the nation. But he not like the rest of the kids, okay? And we all know that the most popular thing that came out of the raid that killed al-Baghdadi was the dog. Yeah, the dog, for God's sakes. So anyway, dogs at the White House yesterday. Three, Esper explains why Navy Secretary was fired over double talk and sealed Trident controversy. I think that's just, let me just tell you, here to me what happened, right? This discussion between the president, Esper, Spencer had been going on for the last week, right? Spencer would not sing Trump's song in public, and that's the kiss of death. When you won't kiss the ring in public and bow to it, then your days are numbered. And you know what? Spencer knew it too. So I don't buy this pretense that, oh, he got fired because of it. Give me a break. I fell off the truck, but not this morning. Four, veteran suicide prevention proposal turns into a bitter fight between Congress and the VA. God help us, right? God help us. Calling it a crucial step to stem veteran suicide, top veteran affairs leaders have mounted an intense pressure campaign against a Democratic committee member. committee leader to force a quick vote on legislation that would allow outside groups to provide some mental health intervention at taxpayer expense. The effort has included personal lobbying from VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. But Wilkie, in a call to the Military Times prompted by the VA on the topic, said, moves are needed because of the importance of finding new suicide prevention solutions. We have an opportunity to get all this done before Christmas, to get started helping veterans with this plan quickly. But now, given what the majority, House Democrats, are doing, we're at a standstill. House Veteran Affairs Committee leaders, Democrats, dispute that, saying the secretary is interfering with normal negotiations over bill language and drafting. In a statement, committee chairman Mark Tancarno, Democrat from California, says he remains committed to reaching a bipartisan compromise on legislation to prevent veteran suicide before the Christmas break. And we all know what a great record they've had on that, right? Right, just do what the PhDs tell you to, and everything will be okay, right? Wrong. At their core, this may affect post-traumatic winning. All drafts of the legislation would provide grants of up to $500,000 to certain community groups for a range of intervention and support services. We shall see. I don't know, man. Anytime the VA gets involved in it, stand by to get it screwed up, watered down, and so marginalized that it's just ridiculous. The last article I wanted to bring to your attention today, well, there's kind of a couple other ones. Listen to this headline, right? I should get the rim shot ready, right? U.S. resumes more robust counter-ISIS ops in Syria. What? Wait a minute. I thought we left Syria. Oh, no, we didn't. Well, wait a minute. What the fuck happened a month ago? What was all of that dust-up bullshit about leaving Syria? Now we're back after ISIS in Syria in a more robust manner? Right? Here's another one. No end date for U.S. troops in Syria. What? Wait a minute. What is going on? Top general is confident he can keep pressure on the Islamic State, but a recent watchdog report says the group could reconstitute. This is a Marine Corps general. Kenneth McKenzie, who's CENTCOM. I don't have an end date, said General McKenzie. He told a group of reporters in Bahrain on Saturday. Roughly 500 U.S. forces still remain in northeastern Syria with their Kurdish-led partners, the Syrian Democratic Forces, to continue fighting the remnants of the Islamic State, McKenzie said, during a visit to Bahrain for the Manama Dialogue Security Summit. Despite a recent Turkish invasion of northeastern Syria and ensuing turmoil in the region, McKenzie said in a separate interview with Foreign Policy that he is confident the coalition can effectively hunt the Islamic State from its more limited position in Syria and a nearby outpost in Iraq. Operations against the militants resumed over the weekend, with coalition forces killing and injuring multiple fighters in a November 22nd raid in the Deir Ezzor province. So, anyway, you know, here's another one. From the headline from the Washington Examiner. Pence, after meeting with the Kurds, they know the American people are with them. Wait a minute, the president just said we weren't, that they weren't there at Normandy, so we don't owe the Kurds anything. So what do you want me to do with? Do I need to get my secret decoder ring out on that one? Huh? Like, Mr. Vice President, I really appreciate you coming here, and I really appreciate the sentiment, but we can't take anything you guys do to the bank. Okay? After what Mr. Obama did, right? And we did most of the fighting. Do you realize that 11,000 Kurds were killed in that fight? And only 8 Americans? And what we got for that was you walking away from us? So you know the American people are with them. Okay, that's the headline. What about the President of the United States? Where's that guy? Vice President Pence. That's a good question. I don't really know today. I haven't talked to him in the last 2 minutes, so I don't know. But if you want to, like, really keep tabs of the president, have you subscribed to his Twitter feed? Oh, are you kidding? Every one of us has it. Yeah, well, that's how I find out about most shit. Right? So anyway. But here's the other story. This is from Politico. Trump's strain with the Pentagon inspires talk of more departures. Now, as I said, you know, if Admiral Green is not gone by the end of the week, I'll be shocked. Okay? How does that guy survive, right, in the wake of Spencer's departure? President Donald Trump came into office vowing to unshackle his military commanders from years of Obama-era micromanagement. But now he's facing a rupture with his Pentagon leaders after steamrolling them on a series of decisions, from Mideast troop movements and the use of military funds for a border wall to disciplinary actions involving individuals. Even before Navy Secretary Richard Spencer was forced out over the weekend, a handful of Pentagon's highest-ranking officials have been debating just when they would feel compelled to resign over what they see as Trump's disregard for the chain of command, two current senior officials told Politico in recent days. The officials both spoke on a condition of anonymity, blah, 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 blah. Quote, there's a sense of dejection by senior leaders at the Pentagon that the president and the secretary of defense are going to side with the loudmouths at Fox News against the reasoned opposition of senior military professionals. That's the sense in a nutshell. The Spencer incident is just the latest collision between Trump and the Pentagon following incidents in which the president ignored or overruled their advice not to withdraw troops from Syria, ban transgender people from serving, or redirect military forces and funding to the U.S. border. Trump has also weighed in publicly on individual military procurement projects, such as criticizing a potential $10 billion Pentagon contract for Amazon, which Esper subsequently awarded to Microsoft, and demanded that the Navy switch back to old-fashioned steam catapults for its next generation of aircraft carriers. His military leaders have also had to play cleanup on political flaps involving the president, including an episode which the White House may have sought to conceal the name of the destroyer USS John McCain when Trump was visiting Japan. Right. So anyway, the question, and we talked about it, every one of these disasters, right, the general and flag officers of the United States military, they don't say shit. And I think that when you put on those stars, right, you have to have a serious discussion with yourself, and you have to say, hey, if I'm asked to do something that I can't look myself in the face with, right, that I have to say, well, you know, sometimes you got to go along to get along, I ain't doing that. But it doesn't seem like that happens very frequently. And I'll tell you what, it's diminished the nation. It has had a true impact on the way the world views us. Our little event in Iraq that has destabilized the Middle East and has impacted Europe. Yeah, if you were Europe, how would you look at the United States? Those idiots. Those absolute fucking idiots. And you can only blame Rumsfeld for so long. What about everybody who implemented that? What about everybody who said, aye, sir? Yeah, not a problem, sir. Got it, sir. I mean, they're implicit too, right? So the track record of the general flag officers of the United States military relative to saying, hey, can't do this. I'm out. You'll have my letter of resignation today. You can put a date on it and then I have something to say to the media. I want the American people to know that I believe this is absolutely wrong for the following reason. I'm out. Late. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Mike Marletto. Okay. And you're going to hear Mike for about an hour and a half. Yeah. How about that? No, let me just tell you. Not even kidding. He is a smart guy. He's a well-read guy, and he's got great life experiences. So honestly, don't miss this. So don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on a Tuesday on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.